Just to let you guys know, Renzo Gracie loves the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Oh, boy.
You want to start over?
No, calm down. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I am your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is the other guy, E.T.
Hey, I'm the other guy. Yeah. You fucked that intro up.
I fucked it way up. We're going to keep it.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Shows we're people, too.
Yep.
This podcast can't always be perfect, highly rated, world famous.
Yeah. So, gosh, it's been a while since we put one of these out.
It has been.
What have you been up to?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just every time you say, hey, you want to record a podcast, which is every week, I go, man, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Every week. Feels
it's
good.
It's insulting.
Feels good. Yeah. I'm surprised you still ask. Yeah.
I'm a glutton.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. More than one way. You know, just been busy, work stuff, doing some other outside of work and jiu-jitsu type things. Like you, joined a regular, gym, like Gold's Gym, or in your case, you go to Curves. Just been focusing, you know,
have you seen my Curves?
Time. Yeah, I have. I have. You've lost the ET. Guys, ET's lost some weight. How much weight have you lost?
20 pounds.
20 pounds?
Yeah.
He's got some ab definition now.
I don't know.
Just one. Just one ab. No, not a lot. But, yeah. How's that affected your jiu-jitsu?
It's affected my jiu-jitsu in the fact that I do a lot of cardio. So, of course, it helps on the mat just with that.
Mm-hmm.
And taking some weight off of my back, which has always been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not as achy and painy every morning,
mm-hmm.
You know?
That's good.
Yeah, so it's nice.
It's important. And you weren't heavy.
No, I never was. I never was obese.
Yeah.
I just, I had the back injury when I was 26. I've had periods on and off where I could do. Fucking let me finish. Where I could do cardio.
Uh-huh.
I could do cardio for long periods of time and keep weight down. I've had it where I've, could only do jiu-jitsu, and then it would hurt, and I couldn't do any running or weightlifting, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm in a very good, I'm in a good span where I've been able to sustain a lot of strength training, a lot of cardio training, and now, like, I've got abs, muscles, I can see poking through again.
Weird.
It's like, geez. It's
who's this?
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy?
Who's this
guy? You say that a lot in front of your mirror, your kid's like, Dad, are you done in the bathroom?
No! Yeah. So anyway,
that's good though.
I mean, it's good.
What do you do for? I mean, how? What are you doing at the gym?
Well, every session I do cardio. I do a treadmill,
mm-hmm.
or I do a weight. Well, I do treadmill every session. I do a weighted sled, the push pull, all that stuff
mm-hmm.
for cardio.
Mm-hmm.
But I break it down of muscle groups, training muscle groups.
Okay.
Yeah. So. And I do 7 days a week, and I'll have usually 1 or 2 days in the week where I don't do any strength training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so you're present in the gym every day.
Every day.
That's awesome.
Every day.
I know you've really like adopted this and then stuck to it really well. And
I can't do anything with a half commitment
mm-hmm.
and sustain it. Probably like you, I've got to go in and do stuff. I've got to make it like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. Get your ass out of bed right now when the alarm goes off. 5 a.m. Get out of bed and be my own drill sergeant. If not, then I'm not going to do anything.
I remember talking with Brad a long time ago. One of our black belts who we've had on the podcast previously, and he said we were just talking about how jiu-jitsu. You know, if you train a lot. It can be a huge time commitment if you're not like a pro guy, or own an academy. You know, you're balancing, your family and your work and, all the other miscellaneous items in your life with, training hopefully 4 or more days per week for however many hours or times per day.
Yeah.
He said you just have to look at it as another job. You have
yeah.
to look at it sometimes as a part-time job, like, I've got, class starts at 6:30. I got to work at 5. I got to go home and do this and this, and I got to go to my other job.
Yeah.
That might not be the most fun sounding way to think about it, but that's how you make the type of gains that people usually want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is just, commitment and being in here. And once you're in here, being methodical with I'm going to be the first one to roll, and I'm not going to leave until there's no one else to roll with.
Yeah.
You know, and even if that means, you know, you're just taking a, you know, you're just drilling or you're just watching two other people.
Yeah, and you're really good at that.
Make mistakes, watching other people roll.
No, as being the last one off the mat.
I am. I try to be at least, and it's not always the most fun thing when it's, you know, it's a big class and there's a lot of people, and I look up and it's, oh, it's 9:50.
Yeah.
9:50 p.m. Gotta go. You know, I still gotta shower and all that other great stuff. But yeah, that's how you make gains. And I think I'm really starting to notice a correlation between the people that do that type, that with that type of behavior,
mm-hmm.
and who's a challenge on the mat. You know, if you're coming in, you know, you mosey in like twice a week and you roll three times, four times, if it's an open mat, and you see you later, guys. Like,
yeah.
Those aren't the people that necessarily challenge you too much. And
right.
Maybe that's just what their life can support. Maybe it's, you know, maybe that's their interest. Their interest kind of peaks out at like, oh, it's just a thing I do, you know, kind of keep me spry or whatever. But that's, I don't know, that's not our interest level.
No, you can, you can sustain any activity for a long period of time if you are putting the bare minimum into it, and you just want to keep paying. You don't look at
my girlfriend, haven't you?
Yes,
son of a bitch.
Well, you know, we all have stuff that we like to do off the mat.
Yeah,
but I don't have a mat and training partners at home.
Yeah,
I have a video game console at home. I can play anytime I want.
And
I do. I have comic books I can read at home. This is all the stuff that I'm into. I have all this shit around me 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a training partner in mats.
Mm-hmm.
Use your time. Stay with it as long as you can. We see people that come in 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
That split out one, two rolls, and then mm-hmm. gone and shit like that. And mm-hmm. you're right. They're not a challenge.
They're not a challenge technically, and physically. If they come in on time, on a rare occasion, and do roll, they wilt under pressure.
Right.
They can't. They don't. Their body and their cardio and just their mentality isn't tough enough to, or conditioned enough, I should say, to, you know, be able to withstand, you know, the black belt that's mounted on you just pounding in for a cross choke,
or, yeah,
you know, like yanking your arms back and forth trying to get one of them to break up so you can go for an arm bar or something. They'll tap from that,
yeah,
you know, or they'll just give up. And that's something I'm glad that I've done that before as like a blue belt.
Yeah.
I like just, oh god, I can't do this anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But now, like, it would take a lot, I think, for me to. I'm sure everyone has that point
where they would quit.
I still do. Yeah, everyone has that point where they'll quit. But just some people, the more you train, the higher the threshold.
Yeah. You just won't get to.
Yeah,
it.
You got to go through. You got to do some crazy shit.
Yeah. And I like the idea that you kind of always assume that that white belt stepping on the mat
mm-hmm.
has some sort of characteristic physically that us as upper belts, whether you're a purple or brown or a black belt, where he can challenge that or push mm-hmm. that. So you got to keep yourself way sharp because you don't know who's walking through the door.
Yeah, exactly. What's that, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready?
Yeah.
That mentality is so true. We've had a lot of new people come through the mats. I think we mentioned this the last time we recorded, and it's still true. Like, we're still having new people sign up. There are now 5 Bryans in this academy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're gonna have to get rid of some of those guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at one that
talking about you go to hell. but yeah, that's so true. You know, you can't come in and, you know, after having taken a long layoff. I mean, if it's for an injury or something, that's, you know, entirely different story. But if, you know, I just haven't been training very hard recently, and you go up against. This is something I wanted to talk about, so we'll just jump into this. Like, we have a new guy here. He's a super nice guy. Humongous white belt. An enormous. I think he's taller than me. I think he's a little bit taller. He's probably around 6'1", something like that. Excuse me. And he, 240.
It's like wrestling a log.
It is.
Grappling a log.
We did. He comes pretty regularly to the class that I'm in charge of, and I've started doing a lot of guard situationals in that class. You know, 2 minutes, one person's on the bottom, then 2 minutes, the other person's on the bottom. Yeah. You just try to pass, sweep, or submit. It's great. Those are goddamn miserable, you know, but they will make you better in a lot of different ways, I think. And I went with him first thing. He passed my guard. I swept him once and he passed my guard once. A pretty much brand new guy because I can lock like my toenails together and that is how wide he is. And I was like, oh, I'll just try to break it open. I'll go for like a half guard. And he got on the dark side of my half guard. I was like, oh, this isn't looking good. Yeah. And I mean, normally in a roll, I probably would just turtle it up, sat out and taken his back. But that wasn't the drill. Like, oh, you got passed.
Yeah.
I feel, nah, okay. But I swept him before that, so I guess I could think, like, oh, I swept him first.
Right.
But, you know, it's still, like, that's hard to do, man. And, like, full guard is not, I mean, for me at least, is not necessarily my friend with someone that size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. When you can't lock your guard around somebody.
Yeah, when they're that big.
They're that big. Mm-hmm. And a lot of white belts, one of the first things they do is they shove their hand in the back, find the space between your feet, and break. And when you can feel that person, you can barely get your feet to your toes together.
Yeah.
When they stick their hand back there.
And it already breaks.
And it already breaks, you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah, here we go.
My ego is going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as my spleen, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, so what do you do when... Because we had a guy in here yesterday for the open mat. I don't know who he was. I think he's buddies with some of the guys that train here. Big guy, large, tall, didn't look to be in great shape, but just a broad
massive
guy,
person.
Massive guy. Wore a knee brace that looked like something out of a RoboCop.
Yeah.
No gi, did not train. I don't think he was even like looking to start training. He just came in to like visit with his friends or something.
He was on the mat.
He was on the mats, rolling around. I didn't roll with him. We had packed open match yesterday, by the way, like 20 people. And we're like kind of getting a little bit of fall off from Hurricane Joaquin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been looking a lot like Gotham City in Richmond for the last 7 days or so. No sun, light drizzle the entire day.
Yeah.
But anyway, I watched one of our purple belts go with him. And the purple belt and he both kind of started on their knees, which I don't really do anymore, but with him, I don't really blame the purple belt for doing this. And he kind of charged in, purple belt falls back, gets to full guard, and that's pretty much where it stayed. Like, someone that's that big, with no gi to grab, what do you do? What do you do, E.T.?
With a guy that size, underhooks, lock him down, where, you know, break him down. If you can. I mean, he was a huge guy. I mean, that's just off the top of my head, but...
He was putting his hands in our purple belt's biceps, too, to even, like, keep, you know, so you can only move your hands kind of like in a snow angel sort of formation. You can't bring them off the mat.
You know, people like that, they don't have jiu-jitsu in them, so they're acting unnaturally. You don't roll with people who don't have jiu-jitsu instincts all the time. So what they're doing seems more crude, technique-wise. It's also foreign and a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, it's crude, but, you know, I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Or if it stops what you want to do to work, I mean, same thing. So, I mean, I think full guard's not my really strong suit, if I even have one to begin with. It's certainly not full guard. I think with that type of a situation, I'm going to try to shrimp away or make some space and get some butterfly hooks going.
And try to get a sweep going. Put him on his back.
Yeah, or at least get some underhooks, stretch him out. Because another thing I noticed about the big guy we were just mentioning that's an actual student here, a white belt, his balance is atrocious.
Yes.
Atrocious. Like, I can get to half guard and just kind of make a little, like, hip movement out, and he'll straight up fall over.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I was like, did you just give that to me? But I'm thinking, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
I think he just, like... doesn't understand adjusting his weight properly yet and falls over. It's amazing how the wide span of people that come in, like some guys come in and they might not have trained before, but they just have, you know, better instincts. And some guys like myself come in and they just don't know anything. They can't do anything.
Right.
Another thing about white belts, I noticed in the open mat today, we had a few of them in here, I believe. I rolled with one of them who's very strong in the sense that he uses all of his strength at once, grabs and holds and, like, flails around a lot. He gets that death grip going, you know, that where he just – he might not know what to do, but he's going to keep you from moving as much as he can. How do you deal with that?
Well, that's a tough one because – there are guys that come in and with their jobs to hold an industrial-sized wrench and break nuts off of screws.
Mm-hmm.
And they got such crazy forearm strength, like this guy here, who's like a construction worker or something. No knock to those guys. You have a natural strength, and they just wrench constantly.
Yeah.
And when they lock down on my on our wrist,
mm-hmm.
we are computer guys.
Mm-hmm.
it becomes problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always feel weird being on the defense against a white belt.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like, let me go, like, so I can do this. Like,
yeah, let me go so I can beat you.
Yeah, yeah. That is odd. I find myself having to use a lot of I figured out, you know the you know, when someone grabs your gi sleeve and you spin, I've found that spinning to the inside,
mm-hmm.
So like towards your body. So if it's your right hand, you know, you're spinning counterclockwise. Your left hand, you would spin clockwise over and inside. Because I actually grabbed somebody one day. I was like, grab my sleeve. I want to see which way to spin is more effective. And it seems that that is the way that I've found that works. And it's it hasn't been proven wrong yet,
okay.
As far as rolling goes. So I find myself doing that a lot. And even the strongest person, like, it's almost like if you have a stronger grip, that's actually worse for you to do that, because your fingers will get real, you know, wrenched up in there.
Yes.
So that's a way to do it. Or I'm using, like, you know, my shin to, like, I'm putting it over their hand to, like, break it off or
pop it off,
like that. I can still remember, honestly, I was rolling with a guy. He doesn't train with us anymore, unfortunately. I have some of my earliest jiu-jitsu memories from him, little Josh, blue belt. I was rolling with him one day, and I put that together finally. Like, he had me in, like, a side control or something, or I was on top, and I, like, put my knee over his arm and used that to break the grip. And it was like, light bulb came on. I was like, whoa, like, I just used that to break that. I used, like, a counter pressure, and he's like, oh, nice, man. I was like, oh, my God. Like, and it's one of those little principles that you don't really ever think about, but you know, intellectually maybe, but that's a move that will always work, or it always has a place, I think, in your arsenal. And that's something I have to use with these guys that come in that they just want to hold the entire time. Sometimes you got to think of creative ways to break off. Cause I mean, that's not completely useless training by any means, because if you're, you know, in a, like a altercation or whatever, that's what you're going to have to do. If you get on top of a guy, he's going to, and like, he's not a, like a dum-dum that's like trying to punch at you from when he's mounted.
He might try to grab your hands.
He might try to grab you or just like hold, like just bear down on you. And he's probably going to exhaust himself that way.
Yeah.
But it's still something he has to do. So that's, I think, kind of a valuable exercise is, how do you grapple with someone that doesn't want to grapple?
Yeah.
How do you, like, you know, you're down, you're someone's down, you're in, you have someone in guard, and all they want to do is stand and run away.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with that? Or how do you deal with someone who they're down, and instead of mounting some sort of guard escape, they just want to stand? Like, how do you keep them down? You know, I think that's kind of interesting, but maybe more of like an MMA type mindset, because that might be a real, very real possibility.
Cyborg versus Brendan Schaub.
Yep. Shop shutdown. Yeah.
Shop shutdown.
I don't think I actually even watched that match entirely.
Oh, it's good. Watch it. Watch it.
Really?
It's, you want to see it. You owe it to yourself.
Do I though? Okay.
You do.
All
you
right.
do. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So how do you grapple with someone that doesn't want to grapple? And that's, I guess, kind of what the death grip conversation is really circling around. Like, I'm not saying they don't want to grapple. They're in class to learn, but they don't have any other weapons. I do the same thing. I would do the exact same thing.
Their entire arsenal is instinctually trying to stop you from grappling them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's, definitely a thing that I try to, be cognizant of, especially with like these new big guys that we get in here sometimes is, you know, if I'm on my back, like, is this really where I want to be? Well, I heard one of the Gracie brothers say once that, you know, jiu-jitsu teaches you to fight off your back, but that doesn't mean that that's the place you want to be.
Right.
You know, and that's, I think that's really, really an important thing to remember. It's like, you don't have to just, like, accept the bottom position in an exchange or in a altercation on the street or whatever.
That's true.
You can, use your jiu-jitsu to stay on top.
Too. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or not get taken down.
Or not get taken down in the first place, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
People think that jiu-jitsu is just a ground-fighting art. Mm-hmm. But it's not. We train a lot of takedown defense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think we train enough takedowns to know how to stop people from taking us down. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And that's going to vary based on school and based on your own personal interest in takedowns as well.
It is.
Some people don't train takedowns really that much.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll do, like, if it's part of the class or the warm-up, they'll do it. But otherwise, they won't. They don't drill it. I think that's kind of foolish. Because you can have the sickest ground game on earth, but if you can't take someone to the ground, then what does that mean? It goes out the
window in a real situation.
Yeah, you got a gun with no bullets in it. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, you have any stories to tell about maybe your own experience, maybe taking someone to the ground or not?
Yeah, and I'll tell the listeners this: I had an incident at my gym where
Curves gym.
I don't want to say the gym name. Yeah, it's not Curves.
Don't say the gym name.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much out.
Globo Gym.
I can't imagine this person listens to this podcast. He could.
Or maybe he's scouring the internet trying to find you now.
What happened was I have a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu t-shirt, the same one I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm. And I believe I was on a treadmill the first time this gentleman came up and asked me if I trained in martial arts. And we started talking. I was, you know... And he told me his whole martial arts resume of grew up.
And you love that. You love people coming up to you and talking while you're at the gym.
I like talking martial arts. I love talking traditional martial arts because I've done it for so long. Mm-hmm. I did it for years. I love all that shit. I love talking about it.
Yeah.
But this wasn't that's cool. Where'd you train? Who'd you train under? It was more of his trying to impress upon me with mm-hmm. some weird insecurity.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, I did karate and I did, you know, jiu-jitsu, but I did karate and kung fu and now I'm a sifu and Wing Chun and Jeet Kune Do. And he was just kind of telling me all about himself and, you know, I gave him a little bit of my background. But at any rate, I saw him maybe once or twice after that and he said that he wanted to, why don't we get together and spar? Mm-hmm. Get together and spar. You know, you can do your jiu-jitsu, and I'll do Wing Chun.
The thing is, though, there's no equal footing in a sparring match like that. One of you punches, and one of you doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you wanted to punch.
Well, I mean, and so I was like, okay. And I just kind of played it off. Not played it off, but like, okay, well, you know, our academy's right down the street from here.
Yeah.
If you ever want to come by there, you can be more than happy to do it. Mm-hmm. But on about two or three Fridays ago, mm-hmm. I just did a bunch of cardio and I was doing abs and he walked by me with a friend of his mm-hmm. and he said, hey, something to the fact that you still owe me that sparring match. Oh, and... Yeah. Honestly, Ron, I don't know why I said this.
It may have been all the pre-workout you've been taking.
It could have been all the pre-workout.
Yeah.
Also, I hate to think of me seeing somebody constantly and them giving me that, oh, are you going to spar with me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just said, right now, let's go. Let's go. I said, there's an empty cardio room. And let's go. Mm-hmm. And his friend kind of laughed. You know, it's like, huh? Your friend's like, I want to see this. Mm-hmm. So we walked.
That makes it worse.
We walked from one side of this huge gym to the other side. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I was thinking, oh, shit. I was like, shit. Don't let a lucky punch knock me out.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't stop it. I had a little bit of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But we went into this room, which is hardwood floors.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, okay, you limber? He's like, you want to stretch out or anything? And the ego is like, no, I'm ready.
So, you are ready. You just did however much time.
Yeah, my heart rate's already up.
Yeah, I'm actually fucking exhausted already, guy. So that's fine.
But
yeah.
his friend sat down on a stack of mats, of like yoga mats they had, and he got into his Wing Chun stance and.
What did that look like?
Well,
I know it's a podcast, but just for me,
Feet wide apart.
Feet wide apart and
turned
parallel.
In. Yeah, parallel turned in
like
yes,
pigeon-toed. Okay.
All pigeon-toed. It's kind of okay. Yeah, stance. Both hands up.
Okay.
One hand, the bottom hand was further out. The top hand was a little bit...
So they're lined in the center, like almost like he's swinging from a rope, yeah, he, but they're not yeah, they're, over he, top of each other.
They really okay. protect their center line.
Center line, okay.
So he said, okay, let's, you know, go.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I did was just like classic Gracie jiu-jitsu, bring the knee up, stomp to make space.
Did you hit his knee?
Just like that, not like stomp down
okay.
to hurt.
Okay.
And he fired off a few chain punches, but before he could, I got real close to him, mm-hmm. cinched up, pulled him into me,
yeah,
tripped him up and took him to the ground.
Nice.
Yeah, and...
I probably felt great on that hardwood floor.
Well, I had a cushion, which was him. And okay. As soon as I got on the mat, as soon as I mounted him, he started punching my ribs.
Okay.
Like, just wild flailing.
From the mount.
I was mounted on him. Okay. He just started wild flailing on my ribs.
That's a good technique.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't waste any time to take one hand under his elbow, push it up to his head, and hit an arm triangle.
Okay.
And he did the thing where, you know, people don't know how to defend that.
Nope.
Think that they can turn into it and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah, sure.
So it didn't work. I mean, he tapped out like really quick, started mm-hmm. hitting my body really yeah. hard. And first I was like, I don't know if he's trying to punch
yeah.
me or he's tap. Losing. His tap wasn't yeah. like a jiu-jitsu person's tap.
No.
And we did it again, and he changed to a boxer stance.
A boxing stance, okay.
Yeah, he said, okay. All right, let me. He said he trained in Jeet Kune Do for a long time,
mm-hmm.
And that's what he was like an instructor in that and Wing Chun. I really know his whole resume, but he changed to a boxer stance like you would see Bruce Lee doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
let's not bring Bruce into this.
No, yeah. Bruce would not have been happy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we did it. Again,
yeah.
And when he put the leg in the leg in front, mm-hmm. and I just did a single leg takedown.
Did you really?
drove him to the ground?
Uh-huh.
And he threw off a few punches, and I mean, I just covered up
mm-hmm.
As I shot in, put my head close to his lead leg, just like you do in a regular
sure,
takedown.
Sure.
Took him down, slid up the front. This time, he took my arms,
mm-hmm.
like biceps, like you're just saying that, you know, white belts
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And he started squeezing my biceps, I think, to
no
try to...
Grip.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think he was trying to not let me raise my... I wasn't going to punch him on the ground.
Sure.
I'd already gotten what I want.
Sure.
So when he did that, mm-hmm. I got my arms free and just kind of smacked him around a little
did
bit.
Did you smack him?
Yeah. And
nice.
I forget what I submitted him with. I've got it written down. I wrote the whole incident down.
Did you really?
Yeah, and then... Mm-hmm. And then that was that. He tapped. I forget what I submitted him with. And then the third time came along.
He wanted to do it another time.
Well, he didn't. I don't know if he wanted to. His friend was like,
oh, sure.
Yeah, his friend was like the whole time just mouth. I am sure that he probably fucking built himself up to his friend mm. over a series of years
yeah.
about how untouchable he is. Because
yeah.
he seems like that kind of dude.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend was like, astonished. So we went a third time,
yeah.
and he did the. He started like bopping up and down on the legs, like, you know, kind of moving like he was a boxer
yeah,
again.
Yeah. Sugar Ray.
Yeah, yeah, and that just led to a very hard takedown. Clenched mm-hmm. up again, cinched his back up to me and took
like
him down.
Like a body pull takedown.
Yeah, okay. Yep, really hard, really fast. And once he got to the ground, he tapped immediately
from nothing
from the mount from
Art Jefferson. Yeah,
and. Yeah, very like very Art Jemison like.
Yeah, okay.
And we got up and I helped him up and he was it was awkward
mm-hmm.
because he was not in a good mood. His friend was laughing and asking what did you do to me? What did you do? What did you do? And I was explaining what this was
mm-hmm.
and the guy just wanted to get out of there. He just was like, "All right, thanks. That was great. Okay, good." And he's like, "Oh, okay."
He's trying to shush his friend.
Yeah, he was trying to shush his friend of, you know, basically like, all right, we're done. We're done.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you, dude. It was a nerve-wracking experience because,
sure.
mm-hmm. I don't know this dude.
Yeah.
And he's not a friend of mine.
Yeah.
He was just somebody who challenged me. And mm-hmm. I'm glad I got it over with because now I don't have to worry about seeing this guy and him. I think he was trying to build himself up by, hey, there's the guy who won't spar me.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, and that's why
yeah.
I was like, that's just fucking
too scared. Too scared.
And then I've only seen him like twice since then. And one time he was throwing kicks in front of a mirror. And let me just say to anybody who goes to a gym, if you do martial arts and you go to a gym, Don't fucking shadow box or throw kicks in the middle of a gym. That's not what you're there for.
Yeah.
You look
stupid. You're doing that for attention.
You're doing that for attention.
Because unless you're doing that for like 10 3-minute rounds, you're not getting much. That's barely a warm up.
You have a dojo for that. Yeah. This exactly. is a place to, you know, this is not the time or the place. So he's done that, and he just kind of acknowledged one time. He's like, gives me that, hey, what's up thing. He didn't really talk, so I don't know. But that was the whole incident. You saw the bruises I had on my next day.
ET had some bruises on his, and I get similar bruises on the inside of my biceps, probably from people grabbing.
Yeah.
You had bad.
Yeah.
You have scratches, too?
I had scratches. Yeah. Because he dug his fingernails in. Okay. He dug his fingernails in. He was doing everything he could to slow down my arms. And that's, I mean, honestly, dude, that was the only time I really saw red. Yeah. That's when I started with the smacking.
Yeah.
You know, the open hand. Yeah. Open hand.
Those open hands are embarrassing.
Yeah, because that's telling you.
That's what you do to a child.
Hey, little, little
boy, you need to stop doing this.
Yeah, I could make this a lot worse than what it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
my God. So did he seem really, like, taken aback, like, that his whatever he does didn't work so well?
If he had the thought that it didn't work out the way he wanted to, he didn't show it. I think he had an embarrassed look.
Yeah.
Because he had his friend watching the whole encounter.
Yeah.
You know? But he didn't want to talk. It was very awkward and surreal afterwards. It's surreal going into it awkward after.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know, I'm not a trash talker.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. I didn't. It wasn't you malicious.
You don't need to be in that situation. Like, it might make you feel better. It might make the other person feel a little bit worse, and it might look good on camera,
like
World Star or something. But it doesn't necessarily. Like, you still beat him just the same. You get up and walk away.
Yeah.
If anything, that's your own form of trash talking. Like, all right, see ya.
Leave
him in the ground. Handprints on his face.
I have the same thing in here as I did then, and that's. I try to get more accommodating, like, hey, you okay? You did good. Oh, yeah. You same thing when you beat a white belt, you can't handle it.
Yeah.
And you're like, you did good. No, you did this. Yes. I'm the other way. I'm like, oh, man, cool. Hey, thanks. So y'all going to finish working out? I'm very, like, I go back into overly nice because it's awkward mode, which, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I went home after that. I was like, I'm done. I'm just going.
That's
home.
Taxing on your nervous system
in a
different way.
Like, it is.
You get that, you know, different type of workout. That's interesting. Like, I remember you sent it to us in a group text. I think I woke up later than everybody else, and that was already going on. I was like, "What the fuck?" And you were in the class the next day.
Yeah,
it was a Friday, I think, and you were in class on
Saturday. That was on Saturday.
That,
you know, the only thing that worries me about doing shit like that, you don't know how unhinged somebody is. You don't, I thought, what if I walk out and he goes to his car and gets a fucking gun?
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe he's not on the right meds.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the only thing. I don't advise doing shit like that.
Yeah, that's very true. Or if you do, you need to knock him out so that you can make a getaway, I guess.
Yeah. So he said he's going to come in here the next day, and, well, this was weeks ago, and I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him either. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good for you, E.T. Making friends wherever you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
In a way. Oh, man. I love hearing stories like that. Like, those old Gracie fights are still some of my favorite things to watch, because when you take away all of the, like, more modern, add-ins to jiu-jitsu, that's what it is.
Yeah.
There, like, you just clinch and take down and control and slap them in the face until they stop or whatever. So, or in the back of the head or voice high. And,
Worst case scenario for shit like that, and this is what I look at this, I don't, other than getting shot, I don't want to catch a punch and get a tooth cracked or stuff like that. Yeah. I look at very, very realistic things that could happen.
That's like the more, that's like the administrative side of fighting. Like, oh, I got insurance now, or, you know, I got to go to the hospital.
I won
that fight, though.
On a Friday night, I don't want to have to hunt down a dentist to put a tooth back in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I look at that and go, oh, that's dumb. I could have had to explain to a bunch of people why I'm missing a front tooth. You know?
Yeah. Well, you did it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Switching gears, you've been watching any of the, I've been really enjoying the EVI tournaments.
Yes.
You've been watching those?
Yes, I have.
What do you take away from those? What do you like about them?
For pure production value, they're pretty damn awesome.
They are great. They are great.
They're pretty awesome.
Also, after a few weeks of them airing, Eddie puts them on YouTube in their entirety.
Yes.
For free. Amazing.
The time duration of the matches makes it where I enjoy them more.
Yeah.
Because watching a, was it, 10-minute match in Metamoris that...
They're 20.
20 minutes.
Those are
20-minute match.
Matches. Yeah.
Yeah, that can be a... I don't often have 20 minutes to sit down and watch one match because I watch all this shit at work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
So watching a match that's only a few minutes, I can fit that in.
Yeah, exactly. I like that his rule set is different and it's great. Like, say what you want about Eddie, but like he seems to have a real like well thought out approach to a lot of what he does and says and everything. Like, and these rules are really great. You know, we watch jiu-jitsu for submissions.
Yeah,
you get a good sweep or whatever, that's great. But we want to see submissions. That's what people, you know, really care about. That's kind of the hallmark of jiu-jitsu. And his, you know, if you don't submit someone within the time, you don't get, you know, you don't accrue that money at the end. If you win the tournament, you don't get that match's worth of money. That's really inspiring people to go off. And even if it does go into overtime, his overtime rules are really, he wants to see people get submitted.
Well, I think events like ADCC and Metamoris are good. Mm-hmm. If you're into the sport, I think EBI is a good way to show people what jiu-jitsu is about, to bring them into the sport and show them, you know, I think it's a good way to introduce people to the sport.
You're absolutely right. He has them at like a venue, I think the Orpheum is what it's called. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I guess it's in LA somewhere. He's got a good commentating team. I think it's three guys. I assume they're 10th Planet guys because they seem pretty well versed. Because Eddie, you know, usually has a couple of his guys on these cards.
Yeah.
They seem pretty well versed in what those moves are called.
Yes.
And everything. Where I'm like, oh, that's a neck crank of some kind. But they know, oh, it's the, you know, whatever. Good. And the crowd always seems very intelligent as to what they're looking at.
Yes.
They're quiet and they applaud at the same time. And Eddie, you know. It's kind of funny because Eddie will actually like kind of talk and like encourage them on as well. It seems like it's got a good vibe to it. Like they don't seem like there's a lot of. I'm sure there is pressure, but it seems like it's a pretty cool a cool environment to be in. You see, like it's always cool to see. Like I think Atos had a guy on one of the more recent ones. I think it was in three, and you see like Andre Galveo on the sidelines. Like he's not a guy that you really ever associate with. With Eddie Bravo, like
right.
I don't know how much interaction they have, but like he's there at his event, like coaching one of his guys, like that's cool. And, you know, they had one of the Niao, I think it was Joao, on the most recent one. It was cool to see a high level gi guy in there. It gets exposure for some of these like lesser known grapplers too that maybe don't compete in the Pan system.
Yes,
you know,
you are
going to
see you're seeing a lot of guys that you're being introduced to a lot of. High-level guys that you didn't know.
You didn't know existed. Yeah. Like,
Eddie Cummings?
Eddie Cummings, yeah. He kind of came on the scene. I can't remember where. I don't know if ABI is the first time I saw him, but it's been within the last couple of months that I've really, like, gotten used to seeing Eddie Cummings' face around and love his leg lock stuff.
He's good.
He's really, really good. And the fact that he heel hooked all four of his opponents is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they had that UFC fighter, Joe Soto.
Yeah.
He made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his matches, I think, were overtime stuff, and he's just in such good shape, and probably he's just getting punched and kicked in the face. Like, this is just probably a little bit easier for him, so to speak. You get to see Gary Tonin.
Yeah.
I like some of these 10th Planet guys, too, like, you know, the
Freakazoid
brothers, and, Nathan Orchard with his dead Orchard position.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I'm really glad that they're putting these types of events on. You know, it's submission only, no points. So you don't have to deal with any of that BS of, oh, that was an advantage or that wasn't. Like, it's very cut and dry. Or he uses escape time from these overtime rounds, which, again, that's pretty cut and dry. There's not a lot of whatever, you know, there's going to be a little bit of gamesmanship there, I think, if, like, you know, if you're down and you just want to hold and gather a lot of back control time,
right.
that's going to be harder for the guy to escape than if you're going, you're opening up to go for submissions. But that's going to be
yourself a mammogram.
Did I? I was going for a rear naked choke, and I guess I ended up checking myself. All clean. No loss.
3 times. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. That's actually nothing to joke about. How dare you. So I just wanted to give a kind of talk about those for a second, because I really enjoy those, and those are things you can watch again and again. The tournament format of those is also cool, because Metamoris, God bless them, you know, they know who they're going to fight unless there's an injury. They know who they're going to fight unless it's one of those secret matches. Yeah. They know who they're going to fight. They're watching tape on that person. They're getting people to mimic their style. They're going to shut them down, and no better example of that, I think, in recent memory for me than watching Clark and Rafa Mendez go at it. And that was basically Clark trying to dig his back into the ground the whole time and Rafa trying to beer and ball him the whole time. And neither of them, Rafa would not stop, and so Clark did not stop doing what he was doing. The tournament, you can't prepare for four different people's games effectively. You just got to work on yours.
You got to be. You got to work on your game. Get yourself. Mm-hmm. Get yourself.
Work on your cardio.
Yeah.
Not to say that Metamoris doesn't have some really good, intriguing matches.
But between the two right now, I think UBI is probably my favorite.
More entertaining because they might end up being the same length. I think UBI, those uncut. Cut down, will still run like 3 hours or something like that. Metamoris will run the same, but it's. I remember going over to Aaron's house to watch it one time, and I think I got there started at 7, and I got out at like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God damn, this is a long thing for one submission, a long thing to watch. So I think Eddie's, I think he's got it right. I'm glad he's already announced, I think, the lineup for 5. He's got some returning guys.
When is that?
November, yeah. I think.
I know it's before Christmas.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Good on him, man. And he's probably getting more sponsorship. He's getting cool sponsors. He's got Onnit, Nawaza, guys like that that help him out. The Church of What's Happening Now. I don't even know what that is. I think it's that Coca.
Joey Diaz.
Okay. So he's getting these cool. And that'd be so cool to go see something like that, a professional jiu-jitsu event where everyone there is like. Into the same thing that you are,
right?
Instead of you're kind of the outlier that doesn't that likes jiu-jitsu that no one else really knows what it is, which is still a pretty big possibility, even as popular as it's gotten, as popular as
still a fringe
UFC
sport.
Has gotten. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty fringy. What else has been going on? We had the Gracie brothers in here a couple months ago. Well, one of the pairs of Gracie brothers, Igor and
Gregor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a good seminar with those guys.
Yeah. Nice guys. Yeah, they just popped in. Like, it was just random. I think they were in town for something else. Or they were in Virginia Beach, and
they were going
to
go.
They were going to go to Gustavo's, and Gustavo wasn't going to be around because he's a busy guy with lots of seminars to put on.
I don't know what it's called, but they had come down to Virginia to do skydiving in the tube.
Oh yeah.
Where you, when there's one in Virginia Beach where you jump into it, and I guess
it's like a big fan that you just hover over, pretty much.
Yeah,
right?
they come down to do that. We might be the only place in the East Coast or the closest to these guys for them to go, and they stopped. By our academy, did a seminar.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
Yeah, they were nice guys. It was fun to see them. It was. I think the funny thing about that is, you know how some academies they'll, you know, okay guys and go, and they'll clap and like that instruction session, and then they go do the move, and then they come back. We could not figure that out.
No,
we could not figure it out. Like that's not something we do. And so they're like they would clap, and then
you'd hear
like.
You hear out of sync claps all around,
and they're like, "Okay,
yeah,
we'll try it again next time." Never got it,
guys. We are not stupid.
Yeah,
I know it seems that way. Yeah. We are. We apologize.
It's just not a thing we do.
We're not dummies.
Yeah, yeah.
contrary to what you might suspect.
Contrary to what is right in front of your eyes.
Yeah,
we're not dummies.
But they're really cool, and they said they'd be on the podcast. I got to reach out to Igor and ask him.
Yeah, did you roll with either of them?
No, I did not get to roll with either of them. I saw a few very green students jump on them before I could.
Oh, yeah. That's, you almost kind of want to pull them back by their shoulder and be like, I got this.
Guess what?
I asked Igor, but he wasn't rolling. I think he had an injury. Yeah, he had hurt his knee. I kind of thought, I was like, oh, my God, am I going to ask him? Am I going to ask him to roll? And I went, are you rolling today? He's like, no, I'm not. Like, okay, that's fine. I asked, and I ran away.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to change his mind.
It's like when you ask for a prom date, right?
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Or when you call someone that you really hope doesn't pick up.
And they pick up?
And they don't pick up, and you're like, I hang up real quick. Or after three rings, you're like, oh, I called. I tried.
I called you.
Yeah.
I asked him to roll, and he wouldn't do it. I saw Gregor roll, and he's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah. We've gotten pretty fortunate. We had Clark in last year. I didn't get to roll with him either.
Yeah, I didn't get to roll with him
either. Gregor and Igor. Yeah, I saw him roll too. I saw what he did to the black belts. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, that is, there's levels to this. We're not on that. We're not on that level. Everything, the best thing I could say, or the best, most accurate way I could say it is, like, every move he made had a purpose. He wasn't like, oh man, I'll try this. Mm-hmm. Now he put his hand here, foot here, hips went here, went up to this, and if that didn't work, he had something else already in the chamber.
He also was training for five grappling.
Yeah, he was.
So he was not in just flow mode. He was in...
he was in camp mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm. And he had his girlfriend with him, too.
Mm-hmm. She was good looking.
She was all right, I guess, if you're into that.
She was a 10.
Yeah, she was.
Straight up, if you're into 10.
If you're into 10s, good for you, Clark.
Yeah.
Your life looks pretty awesome. But Gregor and Igor were very nice.
Very good guys.
Very nice guys. I definitely would. If I ever make it back to New York City, which I hope to do at some point, I would love to stop by and train and actually take a class at Henzo's. Maybe see what John Danaher's rates are for a private, or Eddie Cummins. Or I definitely want to go to Marcelo's place as well. I've been to Henzo's before, and it was just a fluke in the middle of the day where there were no classes.
Yeah, same happened to me. I got to walk around.
They're like, yeah, just take your shoes off. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. I walked around. It's three stories tall.
It's a beautiful place.
Underground, though. It was, yeah.
It's great. A beautiful place, and you can miss it if you don't know it's there.
Yeah. It's in the basement. It is not marked.
Yeah.
At anything, and like I asked, like, the concierge at the front desk of like this building, like there's no, like, the door is open already, like you don't even have to open a door or buzz in. I was like, Henzo Gracie Academy? He's like, downstairs. Sounded just like that. I'm like, okay, thanks, Slimer. And went downstairs, and there it opens up into the premier,
the nicest
jiu-jitsu academy I have ever seen. That's bigger than like houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
And for what I understand, Henzo doesn't go into that academy very often.
He's probably busy.
In New Jersey and Hemdale, where he trains.
Does it really?
I think so. Anybody out there who knows, you can correct us on Instagram or Twitter.
That is one thing I think I like about Marcelo's place is he seems to always be there. Yeah. I don't know if he does. I don't know if he has an affiliate program or does.
He does.
Or does seminars, but he. I mean, I'm a subscriber on his MGN Action site, and every weekday they upload. Here's what happened yesterday. Here was him rolling with somebody.
That's him doing it,
So I mean, he's some kind of something on the mats.
He's good.
Yeah, he is. I'd love you to roll with him. And like, that's kind of the game I'm starting to mimic. So if I ever got up there, it would probably go terribly for me because I'm starting to like the butterfly guard and the X and stuff. That's like the home of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in there and try it, and they're going to be like, "Oh, this is some bullshit compared to what we're used to seeing," and they're just going to tear right through it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go to figure something else out. I'm just gonna have another game. That's pretty easy to incorporate, right? Just a whole different
system. Whole different neuropathways for you to build.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Anyways,
we should probably wrap this up.
Wrap it up. Yeah, it's about 48 minutes at this point. So yeah, it's good talking to you. We need to start doing these more.
Yeah, you know, we still have people that that follow the podcast, and the download numbers have grown, even though we haven't recorded in a while. And our social media grows by leaps and bounds.
It does,
all the time.
It does, yeah.
So remember, folks, you can contact us on Facebook. You can send us messages, or you can comment on anything, and we'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. And, Brian, you run our Instagram. Why don't you throw that out?
Instagram account. It's Jiu-Jitsu Geeks on Instagram. Give us a follow.
Or follow me on the video game network I do at Avid Gamerware, and you can find that all over the place. Mm-hmm. But, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and we'll be back very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.